Colossians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 4, and verse 6. Yes. We do have visitors today. Yes, and yes, the pastor just recognized them. We're going to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17. Before we begin, let's see, did I see Roger this morning? Roger Whitaker, Sr.? Is he up there? Let me just make a general announcement. I'm sure if you happen to have or have borrowed the CDs from the Jubilee, let me know. We're just trying to put our hands on them for a project that we're working on. I know I'd taken them home, brought them back, so we're just trying to find them right now. I know we have them. We're just not sure exactly where they're at. But anyway, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17, the Bible says, "And say unto Archippus, however you want to pronounce his name. He's dead, so it really doesn't matter. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for your grace and your mercies, Lord, as I traveled last week. Thank you for the prayers, Lord, of this dear church, Lord, that I knew was surrounding me. God, we pray and ask that you'd please be with, Lord, those who are sick this morning. Lord, those who need you in a special, special way, physically or emotionally or mentally, dear Lord. We ask that you please comfort them, help them. We pray and ask, oh God, that you'd bless this message this morning, Lord. God, may it challenge our hearts. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message this morning or lesson is Take Heed. Take heed. Paul here, writing to the group of saints in Colossae, and one of the things beginning next month, we're going to start a study through the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians is one of the richest books in all of the New Testament on the supremacy of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians, we find out what we are in him. In Colossians, we find out what he is. And we find out the supremacy, the fullness, the completeness of Jesus Christ. And in this day of competing religions, of competing philosophies and other things, we need to know that we are grounded and founded in Jesus Christ. And we're going to be studying that through the book of Colossians. It's going to be an expository study. Not sure how long it will take us, but we're going to start more than likely next week, the first Sunday in August. So it's a good time to invite your friends, invite your family. It's going to be a time of growth and of learning in God's Word. But today I want to take this one verse out of Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17 that we take heed. Take heed. To take heed, number one, to take heed is to observe, to watch. When you're taking heed to something, it's something that's important to you. It's something that's crucial to you. It's something that you're concerned about. Point number one is Paul is writing, he's really wrapping up the letter to the saints and faithful brethren in Colossae, the city of Colossae. They were the Colossians. He was writing to this man. He was a pastor. He's also referenced in the book of Philemon, Philemon chapter 1 and verse 2. We won't take there, but if you want a cross-reference, you can also find that the church was in his house. He was, we believe, the pastor of this church. But he was charged that, he says, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." Number one, Paul admonished him, and I believe the word of God admonishes us to take heed. We need to observe and to watch that which God has given us. Now, what does Paul admonish this preacher to do? He said, and what for him to watch? His ministry. Now, the word ministry there talks about his service. And so today I want to ask you, I want to challenge you to observe, to watch, to take heed over that which God has entrusted you with. Number one, to take heed. It means to watch. It means that we need to keep a watchful eye on what we're doing. This is July, what is this, July 30th now? Can you believe that it's now July 30th of the year 2006? Where did the year go? How many times Tawny and I were remarking this morning, you know, July is over. Tomorrow, that's it for July. 1/12 of this year is gone. I was saying, you know what, I didn't even get to go fishing this month. A month without fishing is just a month not worth living. Amen? All right? We didn't get to, as we reflected, we didn't get to go any parks this month. So one of the things we tried to do is we tried to take time together. One of the things we enjoy is to go to some of the state parks, go hiking, go walking, and things like that. We didn't get to do that this month. There's a whole month that just, bam, went by. It went by. Obviously, we were active with the Jubilee and getting ready for that and then recuperating from that. And I think the recuperation was just about as intense as the preparation. And then obviously we were getting ready for this trip for myself to Florida and different things. But a month went by. How many times have we looked back and not only a month has gone by, but a quarter has gone by. Or a half a year has gone by. Or a year has gone by. Or 5 years have gone by. And we've been inattentive to that which God has put us in charge of. That which God has given to us to oversee our ministry. When we take heed, when we observe, when we watch, it means that we are actively involved in the oversight of what we're responsible of. That means our homes. We are responsible for the oversight of our homes, your jobs, your responsibilities. It is God's will for us that we actively manage, we actively oversee that which is our responsibility. How many parents do you know that their children grow up? And their children seem to raise themselves. The parents are inattentive in the home. How many people do you know in their occupation or their responsibility where they just come in and they put their time and there's no active oversight of that which they're being paid and they're responsible for? I see three things when we take heed, when we observe, when we watch. Number one, the administrative view. To take heed means to watch. First in how we watch is administratively. That is to say, how is it running? One of the things I constantly charge our Sunday school teachers with here, I'm a Sunday school superintendent. I say, teachers, how is your class doing? Every week I show up on the board where our numbers are. Here's my class. Here's Brother Dave's class. Here's the teen class. And I go on down. And we have an overhead. And it shows the last month's summary. And it shows every week for this month where we're at with the averages or our attendance. And then at the end of the month, I give them the averages for the month and what we're going to do next month. The administrative view. It says, how are we doing right now? One man said, the unexamined life is not worth living. As you study the scriptures, we're admonished to be observant, to be circumspect, which means to look around. How are you doing right now in your life? How is your marriage doing? How is your home doing? If you have children in the home, how are your children doing? On your work, how is your job doing? Your ministry that God has given you, how is it doing? There is an administrative view that we must be involved with. God has given to that ministry to us as stewards, and it's our job to steward that ministry. How is it running? Is it running smooth? Is it running rough? Is it running poorly? Is it running efficiently? What can you do better? What can you do faster? What can you do more pleasing to the Lord? That's the administrative view, number one. Number two, the preventive view. Not only as we take heed and watch over our ministry, our homes, that which is our responsibility, we need, number one, the administrative view, but we need the preventive view. The preventive view. The old adage, an ounce of cure is worth what? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. The preventive view. What could go wrong? I believe with all my heart, marriages end in divorce and tragedy because we as husbands or wives do not look at our marriage and say, on the present course of my actions, my words, my thoughts, my intentions, my activities, I'm not looking forward to say, in the preventive view, what could go wrong. There must be the preventive view. We must have, number one, the administrative view. How is things going right now? We must have the preventive view. What could go wrong? They say the best, they did a study, the Gallup poll, and the Gallup organization did a study on truck drivers. They surveyed thousands and thousands and thousands of truck drivers. And then they pulled their logs. And then they pulled their traffic records. And then they pulled their company histories and their reviews. And they spread them all out. And they said, from the worst truck drivers to the best truck drivers, what's the difference? They couldn't find a difference in their education, in their truck drive schooling. They couldn't find a difference in their in a lot of the different things. And they came down, but they took the best truck drivers and they said, well, what do you do that keeps you from having exponentially fewer accidents than all the rest of your peers? And consistently, as they interviewed them and as they studied them and as they watched them, they found one thing. The best truck drivers are constantly saying, what could go wrong? What is that car going to do in front of me? What is that vehicle over there going to do in front of me? What am I going to do if this happens? What am I going to do if that happens? We go through life without examining what could go wrong. What could go wrong in my marriage? What could go wrong with my job? What could go wrong with what I'm doing? I believe so much heartache could be saved. So much sorrow could be saved if we would, before we speak, say, what is going to go wrong? What could go wrong with what I'm about to say or what I'm about to do? How many times have I said a curt word to my wife? And as soon as I said it, realized too late the impact of my words or of my actions or of my inactions. Not only do we need the administrative view over what God has given us in charge of, but we need the preventive view. We need to actively look. The Bible says, take heed. Watch it. Watch over it. So what could go wrong? What is it that the devil would like to do with what God has given me? Look at that. Look at your marriage. Look at your family. Look at your home. We look at our cars. One of the most important things is preventative maintenance on your car. We were down in Florida, and we were traveling. Dad and I went out to get some supplies. We came back home, and the fan belt broke. All right? There was 2 hours wasted because of a breakdown. That breakdown could have been avoided by a little preventative maintenance. Now, I know they've been busy, and I'm not, you know, obviously I'm not assigning fault. But one of the things that always amazes me, people that buy old used cars, they expect them to last forever, all right? And it's amazing to me. Because as you get an older, as your vehicle ages, it doesn't need less maintenance. It needs what? More maintenance. We get this assumption, and men, we're very bad at this, where we set something in motion, and we expect it to be like perpetual motion, all right? We expect that we'll set something in order, and we expect to continue in that order until we deem such a time that we'll change it, all right? If you've ever studied any kind of science, there's something called entropy. That means everything is going to fall apart, all right? Everything left to itself is going to fall apart. Look at your children's bedrooms growing up, all right? Left to themselves, they end up in chaos. All right. Look at the junk drawer. I don't know how many times I've cleaned the junk drawer. And by the next week, guess what's the condition the junk drawer's in? It's a mess. It's a junk drawer. All right. Preventative maintenance. As you go along in your marriage doesn't need less help. It needs more help. As you go along in that which God has given you to oversee, it doesn't need less oversight. It needs more oversight. And now you should be older, wiser, and more spiritual to help affect that. Number one, we need the administrative view. Number two, we need the preventative view. And you'll give me grace on this one. You need number three, the prophetic view. What do I want it to be? The forward view, if you like, if you don't like prophetic view. The prophetic view. I challenge my Sunday school teachers. Here is where we're at. Here's your numbers in your Sunday school class. I'm challenging you, where do you want it to be? Well, then take where you're at and take where you want it to be and develop a plan and get on your knees before God and get it to where you want it to be. My goal for this class is 80 people. Right now, we're hovering right around 60 people. All right? summertime. It's vacation time. Am I pushing you on attendance? Not really. You need to be wise. You know what? I go on vacation. I think you should go on vacation. All right, husband, wives, you can rib your husband on that one. Okay, yes, you should go on a little vacation. You need to get away. You need to take a break. You need to take some time to recharge your batteries, recharge your family. All right, this is summertime. I understand that. People are out of town. People are visiting family. People are having picnics and all kinds of things. But come September 1st, guess what? Things are going to change. All right, I have a goal. Between now and December, I want this class to be averaging 80 people. We'll get into that more as the time is appropriate. But I have a forward view, as you would say, a prophetic view of the future. I have a goal for this class. Do you have a goal for your life? Do you have a goal for that which God has put you in charge of? He said, well, Pastor Rob, Brother Rob, I don't have a Sunday school class. Well, are you married? Do you have a husband or a wife? What are your goals as for yourself in your role? That's a ministry God has given you. Well, what if you're a parent? Do you have a goal for yourself as a parent? And it's not wrong to set some goals for your children as well. That's why God made you parents. Do you have a job or a responsibility? That's your ministry. We have an opportunity to serve Christ. I don't serve Allstate. I serve at Allstate, but I serve God at Allstate. I'm not serving Allstate. I'm not serving Ed Liddy. All right? I'm serving God. That's a ministry for me. If you're an usher, a deacon, a greeter, a mom, a dad, a husband, a wife, a worker, a super church helper, a toddler, a nursery worker, a church cleaner, a bus worker, or a visitation packet putter together, whatever it is that you do, that's your ministry. That's what God has given you to do. That's what we need to oversee. We need to have, number one, the administrative view. Number two, we need to have the preventative view. Number three, we need to have the prophetic view. So many lives are lived without a goal. One of the goals that I have is to memorize a verse of Scripture a week this year. Now, we've had some stops and we've had some starts. There's another young man in the church that I've been working with. He and I have come together. We've agreed that we're going to memorize Scripture together. It's a goal that I have. It's a prophetic. It's something that I want to have. It's a goal for my life. If you're going to have and oversee that which God wants you to do, you need to look at what God has given you to do, and you need to take the oversight of it. You need to take a hold of it because God has given it to you. We'll use Brian. Brian's always my example. He sits one of the closest. All right. Next semester, I'll pick on Rod and Debbie. They're over here. All right. Let's look at the text here. Number one, Paul says to Archippus to take heed. I'm in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17. Number two, in Colossians, take a look back in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17. We won't deviate too much from the text. I'll get into this later. He says, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord. Number two, The ministry. That word there is the service. All right. The root word there, we won't get into the Greek and everything, but the root word there is diakon, which is the root was where we come up with the word deacon, which means to serve. It means a servant. All right. What service has God given to you? See, we take that word ministry. And we think of a preacher, right? We say ministry, we think of preaching. We say ministry, we think of Sunday school class. When really, the ministry that God has given to you is what position of service has God given to you? Where has God called you to serve? That is your ministry. So when we say the ministry, how many times have we read this verse and said, oh, that applies to the pastor. That applies to the preachers. That applies to the missionaries. That doesn't apply to me. No, it does apply to you. It applies to what God has given you to do. The ministry. Number three, the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord. Now, we use this example often when speaking of the gospel. The gospel is a free gift. It's the free gift of God. All you have to do to give a gift or to receive a gift is to what? To accept it. All right. Now, then, notice the text. The ministry which thou hast received. It's like this pen. Or take this pen. This pen doesn't work too well. My other pen went dead. All right. I'm hard on pens. But if I were to give this pen to Brian, and Brian was to receive this pen, what must he do? He must take it. Reach out and take it. The point I want to bring about this is this, that the ministry which thou hast received. It is an obligation and a responsibility which we once took seriously, which thou hast received. It was something that you said, yes, Lord, I'm willing to take on that service. Yes, Lord, I'm willing to take on that responsibility. And you received it. You said, I'll take it. I'll take it, and I'll be in charge of it. It's like kids with pets. Another pet peeve. All right? Kids with pets. How many times? I'll pick on myself. All right? I'll use myself as the example. I got all hot and bothered when I was a kid. I wanted rabbits. No real good reason to have rabbits. Just, they're cute to look at, fun to play with. Eventually, I ended up with like 9 rabbits. All right, I had a whole rabbit barn. All right, a whole section of my father's graciousness in taking care of rabbits. But how many times do we give someone some responsibility and then it gets old and then it's no longer fun? And it's no longer exciting. And we don't get the warm fuzzies about it anymore. And we lose interest in it. And then we begin to neglect it. My friends, that just doesn't describe children with pets. That describes many people in their life. It's something, the Bible says, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received. At a point in your life, you were excited about that job. One of the things that so dismays me about my generation and the generation coming. We hire them in, and they're excited about it. Man, in training, it's the best job they've ever had. More money than they've ever made. And then we turn them loose, and within 3 weeks, they're whining. They're complaining. I can't stand this job. Well, why'd you take it? I can't stand it. It's so funny. I work in a call service center. And they're like, I just can't stand to sit all day. Well, we brought you in. We walked you through the service center. All right. We had you sit down next to a phone agent and talk and listen to some phone calls for about a half an hour. We told you that it involved long periods of sitting. All right. And then they come back and say, I can't stand to sit all day. At one point, what changed? Did the job change? No, the job didn't change. Did the expectations change? No, the expectations didn't change. They changed. They realized after they got into it, whoa, this isn't as much fun as I thought it would be. I thought, you know, man, I'm going to pay you 10, 11 bucks an hour to sit and talk on the phone all day. Man, what a deal. And then they find out it's a factory job. It's a white collar factory job. It's as boring as watching paint dry on the wall or watching the PGA on television. All right? They're about equal in my book. All right? What changed? They changed. That which was so exciting to them, PGA is golf, by the way, that which was so enamoring to them, that which was so wonderful to them, they gladly received it and took a hold of it and said, man, I'll extract all the benefits out of it. But then it got old to them. They willingly took the oversight, but then they realized how much work it was. My friends, what has God given to you that you said, yes, Lord, I'll take that responsibility? Was it to be a spouse, a parent, a worker, an employee? When you said yes, Lord, to that, it was a commitment. And you made a commitment to that. And God says, you willingly received that from me. You gladly took it. You gladly enjoyed the benefits of it. Now God says, take heed to it. Take heed to it. Watch over it. Number one, we need to take heed. Number two, to the ministry. Number three, thou. One word, thou. The Bible says, thou, which thou hast received. This is a personal challenge to every one of us in our own lives to see and to do that which God has called us to do. My friends, I don't know where you are today in your life, whether you're young, or middle-aged, or older, whether you're working or not working, whether you're retired or employee, whether you're a parent or your kids are gone or you're not a parent yet. God has given you some responsibilities to minister to. God has given you a task and a responsibility. For some of you, it's taking care of your parents. That's what I had an opportunity to do this week. Go down. My father's 72. My mother's in her early 60s. It's an opportunity for me to take heed to one of the ministries that I have, which is my family, and to fulfill that obligation to them, and to take that very seriously. The Bible says, thou. That doesn't just say him or you. It says thou. God has given to each of us a responsibility in our life. And God will hold us accountable to that. God is giving it to you to say, what will you do with that which I give you to do? You see, when we stand before Christ and give an account for our life, we won't be able to point the finger, well, I was dependent on them, or I was dependent on them. No, what did you do? Yes, our lives are affected by other people. Yes, our circumstances are impacted by the decisions and the actions of those that affect us. But my friends, that which you have control over, which is you, really, and your actions, your attitudes, your responses, and your responsibilities, God is not going to hold them accountable for it. He's going to hold you accountable for it. Number two, under the thou, who have we received this from? The Lord. God has given to us the precious gift of life. It's a precious gift, my friends. We take so much of it for granted. One of the things that I got to observe this week, the little things that we take for granted, getting up, sitting down, walking across the street, getting the mail, things that people we just take for granted, we don't even think about, that there are so many people who have lost those abilities and now they realize how much they've treasured them. Thou hast received of the Lord. Lastly, what does God want us to do with our oversight? That thou fulfill it. And as I was studying this, I looked that up. It means to pack it full. All right? It means to cram it full. It's like the junk drawer. All right? How many of you have a overflowing junk drawer? All right? It's like the laundry basket at the end of the week. It's packed full. All right? It is overflowing. God says that thou fulfill it. He says that which I've given you to do, you know what I want you to do? I want you to watch over it. I want you to, number one, administratively see how it's going. Number two, preventatively, I want you to take a look and say, what's going to go wrong and how can I prevent it? Three, I want you to look forward and say, what do I want to do with this? God has given this to me, this opportunity, this responsibility. I'm in charge of it. God's given it to me. I'm going to make the most of it. God says, that which I have given you to do, He says, I want you to take heed over it. And I want you to fulfill it. I want you to pack it as full as you possibly can. My friends, people ask me, how do you keep up with the schedule that you do? I don't know. It's just the grace of God. This is normal for me, all right? How do you do all that you do? Why do you do it? And that's not the right question. The how is through the grace of God. The why. Because I want to get to the end of my life. When I get to the end of my life, I don't want to look back as a little old man wearing false teeth and glasses, hair all gone, a few more pounds. Say, oh, bless God, I'm glad that I was meteor.
mediocre. I'm so glad that I was average.
That's not what I want for my life. I want to get to the end of my life and say, I fulfilled that which God gave me to do. I took heed in the oversight of that which was my ministry, my service, my responsibility. That which God gave me to do. It, very similar, that the preacher we brought in for the Jubilee, Brother King, who was talking about, he related an experience with a building program. And he made a statement. He said they were talking about what this church, this pastor, they had done with this. And somebody said, well, you ought to give God all the glory. And he said, we do give God all the glory. And he made a statement. He says, but you should have seen this field when just God had it. All right? He said, you should have just seen this field when God had it. All right? What have you done with what God has given to you? Take a look at where you're at in your life. And you know what? You know why we don't? It takes time and it takes effort. You see, it's easy to just let it flow. It's easy. It's easy to go in every day to work and just put my time in, do my job, and come home. I could do that. I've done, you know what? There's been long periods of my employment where I have done that. But I don't want that for my life. When I go into work tomorrow morning, I'm going in to say, what can I make of this job? What can I make of this responsibility, this ministry that God has given me? But you know what that takes? That takes time and that takes effort. That means we've got to turn off the television. It means we got to put other things aside. Other things have to go. Because if your life is like my life, it's full. All right? It's about up to here. You know? And there are times I feel like I got to hop a little bit. Get a little air. It's full. It's full. And I imagine your life's the same way. We lead very busy lives. But my friends, what will you do with the life, ministry and service that God has given only to you? I pray that thou fulfill it. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for the precious Word of God. Lord, may it challenge our hearts. God, may we be worthy servants in thy sight. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And you are dismissed.